Well, let's do this one more time. What do you think? The final show of the huddle.
I should have got my way to play for you at the end of the show. I probably could find that if that's what you wanted.
Oh, a little, you went to Elvis version or Sinatra?
Whichever one you prefer. Probably Sinatra, though.
Yeah, I think I like that one better. I do. Welcome in. It's Greg McKinney. Lonzo here. This is, in fact, the final show of the huddle on ESPN Upstate. My last day here, and we've already revealed the name of the new show, right? That's on like a promo or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I can't remember it. But yeah, I'll figure it out next week.
It's offsides, right?
For some reason, I thought it was out of bounds, but yeah, offsides, that works.
You better get used to that. So the name of the huddle goes away, too, after, these 5 years. February 24th, 2014, station went on the air. We were on the 4-7 slot back then. We were in a different studio than this, but in some variation, we've been on the air just short of 5 years, and we're wrapping it up today. So kind of a bittersweet day today. And here's the thing, Lonzo. I'm probably as ill-prepared for a show as I've been in 5 years.
Definitely. I've never seen you like this.
Here's what happened. So my last day to navigate Woodruff Road. I mean, I'm not saying I'll never be on the road again, but I'm not saying I will either. I hate that road, man. Hate that road. On my way to work this morning, on Woodruff Road, and I got sideswiped. So there's an hour plus of sitting off to the side of the road, waiting for the highway patrol and getting everything taken care of. No injury involved. This is funny, too. I feel bad for the guy. Very nice guy, and, you know, he just came over into my lane. And he asked me what I did. I said, well, I work right over there. You could see the STL tower, the link, studio to transmitter link tower we have here. I was walking distance to the radio station. And so we're talking, you know, and he's apologizing. It's, you know, all good. And he says, so, that's radio stations over there where you work, right? He said, yeah. He said, you're not on the air, are you? I said, yeah. He said, you're not going to talk about this, are you? I said, no, I won't do that.
You didn't tell him what station, did you?
I did. Okay. He's not local, but he comes through town a lot. And I'm not going to identify. He was driving a truck and pulling a trailer, and it just came right over on top of me. There you go. One more time. Woodruff Road gets the last laugh on GMAC.
You know, that very spot that you're talking about, someone almost hit me like last week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I slammed on the brakes and he missed me.
Yeah, this girl that witnessed the accident said she could see me trying to get over but had nowhere to go. I don't remember any of that. I just remember seeing the thing coming into my lane and going, well, what do you do now? Banged up the car, had to be towed, had to get a ride in. Well, I could have walked, but my wife came because we had to get some stuff out of my vehicle as it went away to the collision shop. So there's the way my final day started. Joy. Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? And so she'll have to come pick me up at 4 o'clock.
Well, the main thing is that you didn't get hurt. I mean,
it wasn't that bad. It was a low speed crash.
We kept joking and joking about you not showing up for the last day, and it almost didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Even Mark Hendricks and Stoneman came to check on me. Wasn't that nice? That's nice of them. They were going to give me a ride back, but I wasn't ready to go yet.
What they told you. They just happened to be driving that way, and they saw you.
I wasn't through with the paperwork yet. So there you go. One more time, Woodruff Road. You got me. Got to make sure I don't forget this fine street. So anyway, it has been great. I want to thank all of you listeners who have listened. I don't know how many of you were with us from the beginning. You remember when we went on the air? You were in there the first day, right?
Yes.
You remember we had this rotation of producers back then.
See, what happened was that was the end of my day. So I would be here for the first hour to the first hour and a half, sometimes later, because whoever I scheduled always ended up being late. So I made it through a good portion of each show.
Okay. And we were on 4-7, and I remember going on the air that day, February 24th, 2014, and thinking, how does anybody know we're here? because this is a brand new radio station. How does anybody, is anybody listening? But I think we got a couple calls that first day.
We did.
Somebody found us.
I think they were Spartanburg calls because we took over another.
Oh, that's right.
Station because a tree fell down and
and were we on that from the beginning? That
frequency
the
tower?
From the beginning.
I believe that 97.1? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't remember that.
It's been so long, and I am getting older, and I'm forgetting some things. I do know I was here from the beginning. I do also know I had to run some Wofford game or something before we even became ESPN Upstate.
I think it was USC Upstate.
Yeah, that's what it was.
USC Upstate basketball that year, that first year.
And we didn't even have any call letters or anything, and it was just like, okay, I can run that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember thinking, you know, you can change the format on a radio station, but it has an old audience, and they're listening, and they may be ticked off, but at least they're listening. But when you are brand new, that can be a little different. Now, we had the AMs that had been WORD AM, the news talk station, so they had a built-in audience on the AM station.
So there were a lot of people going, what the heck is this?
But the 97.7 was brand new, right?
Yes.
And it wasn't 97.7, it was 105.9 at the time.
Yeah, we know because you can look. Is that the one that's marked off back there on that thing? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We still didn't get the new banners, did we? Yeah, it's 105.9. And I just remember thinking we'd be talking to each other, but we'll do this. And it built an audience over these 5 years. And you guys have been great. The thing about sports talk radio is word of mouth is really where it's at. And people tell their friends. Sports fans tell other sports fans. And it built up pretty quickly. It wasn't too long before we had a nice, sizable audience. So it's been a lot of fun, and we won't dwell on that today. We will talk about some sports today, but probably going to have a couple guests pop in here.
I just wanted to say one more thing about the show is I'm glad with you leaving that the name goes to, because we go out the reigning defending sports talk show of the year for the last 3 years, and you know, I just think that's kind of cool.
Well, you don't want the huddle not to win next year, and so our name will be blemished?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, that's not it. But it's pretty it's still pretty cool, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, everybody does their own thing. And so, you know, the new guy will be here on Monday. His name is Mark Ryan. You haven't even met him yet, have you?
No. It's going to happen this way. I see panic look in people's eyes. We're going to go in the air and I'm going to say, hi, my name is Lonzo. That's what's going to happen.
That's going to be at 12:59 on Monday.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and that's fine. You know.
Yeah, Monday might be more adventurous than today. It might be fun to listen to. He's already done a show here, though.
So yeah, believe it or not, I've dealt with that sort of thing before. Over at Word, they decided to do guest host week, and they wouldn't tell me who was going to be the guest host. Mm-hmm. I would come in on the morning show, and there'd be somebody new in there, and usually someone who had never done radio before. So not only did I have to, you know, I'd have to tell them, hey, you got to do this here, and here. And,
right.
And then I would, the program director at the time was not happy with that person, but that's fine.
Well, we had talked about possibly having a day or two where we were both in here, the new guy and me, but he's apparently not here yet. He's moving in from Houston, and you know how that is. Moving halfway across the country, you're dealing with a bunch of stuff. So it will be just a fresh start from him on Monday. But tune in. Lonzo will keep him in line.
You know, coming from Houston, they won't consider him a Yankee, right? Because for some reason, anybody not from South Carolina is considered a Yankee. So
I don't think you can call Houston Yankee land, yeah. No. And he's a Florida guy, so that's not Yankee. Half of Florida is basically Yankee.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, that's the law. You move there when you reach a certain age.
Well, I think he was in Tampa, so that's kind of I personally don't consider that Yankee land, but you know, you guys may feel differently. But he'll be well-versed on that. Florida Gators, he's one of those guys. I've already had my Florida State buddies complaining to me. Oh, no, you're not doing that. Please.
At least he's not a Clemson guy, you know? So, I mean, there's that positive because we got plenty of that, you know, in other places, like the show that comes on after us.
Anyway, Mark Ryan's here on Monday, and it'll be his deal. And so, you know, different kind of approach and all that stuff. You guys tune in and call in and keep on listening to ESPN Upstate.
So you should sabotage. You should tell him to call in and say, man, we want Greg back. Where's Greg?
No, don't do that. Change is good, and I'm looking forward to everybody's been asking me. We had a little luncheon downstairs in the break room today. I have a cake, and we had pizza in honor of me leaving.
Which is a good combination, cake and pizza.
Yeah, the health food here on the way out. And, you know, I get the comments from everybody, well, what are you going to do? And, you know, I give the same answer, and that is whatever the heck I feel like it. I have no really firm plans other than some family business that I'll help out in here. But otherwise, just look forward to the opportunities that await. Whatever is out there awaiting, I certainly am looking forward to experiencing it and not having not having the day-to-day schedule there. If you want to stay in touch with me, I guess the best way to do that is Twitter. If you're on Twitter, and it's at Greg, GREGMCK56, at GREGMCK56, because my company email will be going away, and I'm not giving out my phone number. So there you go.
So how long is it going to be before you change your profile to retired?
Maybe 4:15.
Okay.
Maybe 4:05 today.
Hey, I haven't looked. It may already be changed.
No, I didn't do that. I was going through my email today, and, you know, you don't want to leave, like, a bunch of old emails in there. So I was clearing those out and forwarding some.
Especially
with
ones
addresses
that are disparaging towards management or other people in the building.
I would never send that on company email, though. So I'm smart enough.
Well, I'm happy because I probably sent those to you.
But anyway, just wanted to hang on to some email addresses that I didn't have on my personal email. So anyway, Twitter is a pretty good way to stay in touch if you are so inclined, at GregMCK56 if you want to do that. All right, 844-477-3776. We are going to talk today in the huddle about the NFL games coming up this weekend. We have four good ones coming up. Also about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Anthony Brown and what the future is there. Dabo Swinney was on with Stephen A. and had some comments. I don't know what he's been saying about the NFL in the past, but he addressed that. Would Dabo ever consider the National Football League? He commented on that, and we will let you hear that coming up. We also have a poll on what football programs are blue bloods. Can you call Clemson a blue blood program yet? And it ranks the blue blood programs, and we'll tell you where Clemson is on that list coming up here on the show. So, and more chances for you to win $1,000 at the top of each hour on the free cash stash here on ESPN Upstate. Let's go ahead and take a call here and talk to Nathaniel first in the huddle. Nathaniel, welcome in to the Final Huddle Show. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I normally get to talk to you every now and then about my Bulldogs, and I'm also a basketball coach for my and football coach for my middle school, Cal Penns Middle School.
Okay, cool.
So I'm leaving today to go somewhere, and I'm hearing this is your last day, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't been able to listen to the afternoon show because I'm at practice.
Well, we haven't been talking about it too long, Nathaniel, but I appreciate that. We just really started talking about it this week, even though the decision was made some time ago. But I appreciate that.
I'm really going to miss you. You gave my Bulldog some just talk. I appreciate it. I can't get that too much up in this area. Between you and Lonzo, I could depend on y'all being truthful with me about my dog. So yeah. You have a great career. Whatever else you're doing afterwards, you was greatly appreciated this way.
Thank you, Nathaniel. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate it. Thanks. Jesse, next in the huddle. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Mr. Greg. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, real quick, I feel like we've broken the law here. I thought it was kind of a rule that Delvin had to start out every call, but
you beat him to it today.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say real quick, I might be the first time calling in. I'm not really sure. I've been listening for a long time. I first started listening to Lonzo when he was on with Russ, and I thought their chemistry was always so good, and it's the same way as you guys. I enjoy hearing you and him bounce off each other, and you do a good job. Over the last few years, obviously, Clemson radio has been a little tougher to listen to for a Gamecock. You know, that makes sense. But you guys do a really good job of keeping it balanced and just giving us all the information. I've enjoyed listening to you, sir.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you taking time to call if it's your first time there. Thank you, man. Call back on the new show. And you can call Sturge. Sturge is out for a while, though, right? Sturge is out for several weeks with his surgery.
I don't know if posting pictures in your hospital gown is a good idea for him. I'm just
saying. You don't like that look?
No, I just don't think that works for him.
He just sent me a text. Sturge would love to have come in and been here for the last day, but he's on hiatus for a few weeks after his surgery, so we wish him the best, but we'll stay in touch with him. All right, let's take our first break. If you want to get on board, 844-477-3776, the Health Dare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. It's Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. That's how you get us. Greg McKinney and Lonzo, final edition, the final countdown. It's The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. She your favorite in-studio guest, Charlotte?
Yes. I like Marcus Lattimore, too, being in here. I mean, there's a few other ones. She's the most memorable for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked face-to-face with some other people like Wayne Gretzky and Aaron Rodgers and some of those folks out at the golf tournament. But in studio, yeah, she was one of my highlights, too. And that wasn't that long ago, just a few months ago, that Charlotte passed through
here. She was surprising how tall she was and how pretty she was in person.
Yeah, I agree with that. She was looking good, and she was a lot of fun. We appreciate her coming in here. 844-477-3776 is the number here in the huddle, the Health Dare text line, 71307, and Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Of course, this week, it kind of timed out well. I was really scheduled to leave at the end of the year, calendar year, but they asked me to stay a couple weeks, and it kind of timed out well with Clemson's national championship on Monday, so leaving right at the end of college football season, and that's been fun to talk about and deal with this week. And you Clemson fans have not been goading me too much, and I appreciate that. You still have Lonzo to pick on next week and going forward, so that's all good.
As far as we know.
Past
about 5 o'clock, and I'm good.
But anyway, Dabo's been making the rounds because he's the guy now. He's been the man of the hour all week since the Monday night championship game. He went on the Stephen A. Smith show on ESPN. And one of the things that came up that has been mentioned before, see if it's news to you, Lonzo. Did we know that Dabo had been contacted by NFL teams? Because I'm not sure I knew that. But he revealed that in this interview, that he has been contacted by the NFL. I'm not surprised by it, but I don't know that he ever said that. Anyway, Stephen A. asked Dabo about possibly ever going to the NFL, and here's his answer.
I don't really think about it, to be honest with you. And there's been teams that have reached out. They've had other colleges, NFL teams, over the last few years, for sure. But, you know, I love where I am. I love what I do. I love my guys. I love my staff. And, you know, when you make decisions like that, you're not just impacting yourself. You're impacting a lot of people. And, you know, I always say never. I think that's just kind of because I don't know where I'm going to be 5 years from now, what my mindset would be. Is my president a jerk? Is my AD a guy that's miserable? I have no idea what's down the road. So I never say never. But I just live in the moment, man. I love where I am, who I work with, and that's really all I try to stay focused on. I've never been a grass is greener kind of guy. I've always just kind of bloomed where I'm planted.
Is my AD a guy who is miserable? Now, he's not saying that about D-Rad. Or he's not saying his president is a jerk. But if it turned into that, I guess his point is, he would have options, and he'd like to have options, and he's never saying never about leaving.
See, I'm not so sure about that because, you can hide things in plain sight like that. Case in point, we've known you were going to retire for a couple of months now, and if people listened closely, they would have known how many times we threw that.
I made little veiled references.
Yes. How many times that had happened. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of an old radio trick, and maybe Dabo is – and the fact that he didn't rule it out.
No. And again, maybe we knew, maybe some of you knew that there had been contact between NFL teams and Dabo Swinney, but I don't remember those stories, do you, personally?
No, I do not. And I'm just sitting here thinking, if Dabo was available and instead of Cliff Kingsbury, they went with Dabo, would there have been as much of a uproar about it?
Well, the whole Kingsbury thing is he hasn't proven anything.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Dabo has proven something. So him moving up to the next level, I think they would say, yeah, he's not proven, but he's a winner. He's won championships. We can see them doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So if that should happen, I don't think that a big deal will be made about it as far as him being the first time that he's coaching an NFL team. I don't think that he would be a good NFL coach.
No, it's not. it's not, on the face of it, a real good fit. It doesn't mean he couldn't do it, and I don't want to shortchange the guy. He's done a remarkable job of putting together a staff, and but it's just all it's just completely different in the NFL. And he does seem to fit college much, much better. So yeah, it doesn't mean that he is going, would go. Don't think he is. I think he's at Clemson for a long time. But interesting that he said that there's been some contact. And interesting that he said he would never say never to anything. And that's what you got to say in that situation. Got to cover for yourself.
You know, this is one of those guys that you see having so much fun at the college level. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd have fun in the NFL.
Well,
I think he would lose his smile. He'd lose all the fun that you expect from him. I think would go quickly.
Yeah. So, I mean, at 49 years old, if you're Dabo Swinney, you just want to do this at Clemson for another 15 years, 20 years? Is that what you want to do? Is that what he'll want to do? He's been there 10. He going to be a 30-year guy at Clemson?
Why not? I mean, you've got the facilities. You've raised the program to elite status. You got the chance to have a dynasty there, depending on what you consider a dynasty. I mean, there's so many things that he has accomplished and continue to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Why would you leave?
The only thing that strikes me is something to prove. There's nothing left to prove at Clemson. Two national championships. I mean, they were solidly mediocre when he got there, when they ran Tommy Bowden off. And, you know, he took them from an afterthought to the top. And, you know, staying there long term might be perfect for him. But there are people who would say, I need another challenge. Need to do it somewhere else. Need to do it some other way. Take another program and get it to the top in the college ranks, or maybe try the NFL. I don't think we know that. We can kind of assume that this is a great job, and it is. It is. There's no question about that. But that answer to that question just kind of highlights that that Dabo's not ruling anything out, and I don't think we should be surprised at that. Delvin is on the line. Delvin, welcome in.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
We're well, Delvin. How are you?
You know, yeah, I'm doing great. You know, see how he said other colleges contacted him as well, too.
Well, that's not surprising.
I think he said for a few years, I think one of them colleges was Texas, because I think he had a relationship with Matt Brown down in Texas.
Yeah.
But I hired Tom Herman.
Yeah. I mean, would you go from Clemson to Texas? There's plenty of money there, no doubt, but he got the money at Clemson that anybody would want.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, though, I think he's at college to contact him, because you know we heard his name mentioned with a couple colleges, so I think them colleges did contact him probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I no doubt, and not surprised at all to hear him say he's been, you know, there have been inquiries from other colleges. I didn't know that about the National Football League, though.
And another thing, we got some good news. That girl get to play high school basketball, man. I'm glad they turned their mind about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We talked about it yesterday, but there is a change on that situation. We'll pass that along, too.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good news. I'm glad she get to play.
Thank you, Delvin. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for all the calls, Delvin. That my last call from Delvin?
That is.
I have a tear in my eye.
You do? I've never seen that before. It looks weird.
And he didn't get in first. Anyway, Delvin's been a dedicated listener and caller for all these many years, and we appreciate him. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. Got to hit the break. We'll be back. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Phone lines open to you on this final day of this program. 844-477-3776 is our number. Health Dare text line 71307. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Well, Alabama's going to have some underclassmen leaving. We have four players that have declared for the draft from the Crimson Tide. And that includes Quinnen Williams. Certainly no surprise there. Quinnen Williams may go in the top five in the draft, the defensive lineman. In addition to Quinnen Williams, offensive lineman Jonah Williams, running back Josh Jacobs declared today. Tight end Irv Smith Jr. was not present today at the press conference, but he announced his decision on Twitter. And Alabama coach Nick Saban said that Smith could not be there because he was at a wedding. So Quinton Williams is the big name. Now, he's the guy who said, I don't have the wording in front of me, basically said Trevor Lawrence and all that. Isn't that basically what he said after Clemson drilled him on Monday night? So he'll be seeing Trevor Lawrence in the NFL. Maybe we can build a little rivalry going there on to the next level. But some say that Quinton Williams was the most dominant defensive player in the country. He didn't play that much last season. He redshirted the year before, so he kind of came out of nowhere. He's 6'4", 295 pounds from Birmingham. He won the Outland Trophy. That's given to the best interior lineman in college football. Finished up with 71 tackles, 19 and a half for loss, 8 sacks, 12 quarterback hurries. And ESPN says he is the number 2 draft eligible prospect. How about that? Jonah Williams, ESPN ranks him number 12 out of all players in the draft this year, the offensive lineman. He started every game in his Alabama career, started at right tackle as a freshman, then at left tackle, where he was an All-American. 6'5", 301 pounds from California, only gave up 2 sacks in 831 snaps. He gave up 2 sacks. Jacobs, they're going to miss him too. Jacobs is the running back, 5'10", 216 pounds, a junior from Oklahoma. He only started one game this season, but, you know, Alabama had a lot of depth at running back. But he finished up strong, rushed for 640 yards, 11 touchdowns, and also had 3 receiving touchdowns. And then Irv Smith Jr., ESPN's number 2 tight end, enjoyed a breakout season. He only caught 14 passes as a sophomore. This year he caught 44 passes. 710 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's the son of Irv Smith Sr., first-round pick of the New Orleans Saints, who was in the NFL for 7 seasons. So we've spent a lot of time talking about all that Clemson is losing. But now, as of today, with these announcements, you got to say the same thing about Alabama. They will have to reload, too, and they're losing off of the offense and the defense. They're losing linemen, which is big. Losing a great running back and a really good tight end. So Alabama may not start next season hitting on all cylinders with having to replace all those guys. But you got to figure that Nick Saban gets it figured out pretty quickly. Speaking of Alabama, their quarterback's coach has been Dan Enos. He's moving on to Miami, the Hurricanes, to be the offensive coordinator. He'll join Manny Diaz's staff. And that is seen as a possible boost for Miami being able to land Jalen Hurts, the Alabama quarterback who is in the transfer portal and is expected to leave as a graduate transfer, so that means he can play this year. He's considering Miami, according to sources and other schools. I mean, you know, the thing about Jalen Hurts is he's from Texas, and a lot of people are assuming either Houston or TCU. There's also the connection to Maryland, with Locksley going there. But here's another connection. Dan Enos going to Miami could increase the chances that Jalen Hurts goes there. Enos is 50 years old. He just came last year from Arkansas, where he was the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. He was expected to take over as Alabama's primary offensive coordinator after Josh Gattis went to Michigan and Mike Locksley went to Maryland. But you know what? When you're at Alabama, there's no such thing as the primary offensive coordinator. That guy is one guy, and that's Nick Saban. So, you know, wouldn't be surprising to that. It is not surprising that he's going to Miami, where he'll have a little bit more say-so on Manny Diaz's staff there as their offensive coordinator. Diaz had considered Larry Fedora, who just got fired at North Carolina. And he had considered Houston's Major Applewhite for offensive coordinator. When Diaz came in, he fired the entire offensive staff from 2018 after he was named the head coach. So, look, it's the same old thing at Alabama. Clemson keeps their staff intact, and Alabama just churns through assistants. They've lost 4 assistants this year since Monday. Locksley, Gattis, offensive line coach Brent Key went to Georgia Tech. So the only remaining offensive assistants right now at Alabama are the running backs coach and the tight ends coach. Everybody else is out. It's just hard. You heard this when Lane Kiffin was there and everybody else, really. It's just hard to stay in that intense environment working for Nick Saban for very long. just difficult.
Do you think it's easier to get a job, though, for these guys afterwards because of working with Saban?
Yeah, so, it's a good thing for your resume, right?
Yeah, a lot of guys use this as a stepping stone for higher ground, I guess.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But they don't want to stay there. They don't want to be on that stone very long, do they? A lot of them are there like 1 year and saying, I think I will try the next step here. And that's what these guys are doing. So that's a little bit of what's going on in college football off the field right now. In the NFL, we're still trying to figure out where everybody's going to land with the coaching situation there. There's been a bunch of news coming out of the NFL this week. The Cardinals are talking to Vance Joseph, expected to make him their defensive coordinator. The Cardinals. Denver fired Joseph last month after a 6-10 season. Before he was with the Broncos, he was an 11-year defensive backs coach with the 49ers, Texans, and Bengals, was the Dolphins' defensive coordinator in 2016. Of course, the Cardinals just hired Cliff Kingsbury as their head coach on Tuesday, replacing Steve Wilks, fired after one season, winning 3 games, 3-13 record. So watch for an announcement there. Vance Joseph, possibly the new DC for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see if that announcement is made pretty soon here. News from the Bengals, the LA Rams quarterbacks coach, Zach Taylor, is the Bengals' top choice to be their next head coach, according to Adam Schefter. The Bengals want to hire Taylor after the season ends. Of course, they're still playing. Taylor's 35 years old, so a young guy. Was the offensive coordinator for the University of Cincinnati in 2016. So he's familiar with Cincinnati, and the sources say he'd like to come back to that city. He would replace Marvin Lewis, who parted ways with the Bengals after a 16-year tenure there. Taylor was a star quarterback at Nebraska, began his NFL coaching career with the Dolphins as the quarterback's coach in 2012. He was one of the guys who helped develop Ryan Tannehill. He spent a year with the Bearcats, then returned to the NFL with the Rams under Sean McVay. Was assistant wide receivers coach in 2017 and quarterbacks coach this season. And given some of the credit for overseeing Jared Goff, and the Rams went 13-3, and they had 282 passing yards per game. That was fifth in the NFL. So seen as a pretty good passing guy there, and look for him to be the next Bengals head coach, waiting for that announcement. All right, let's take our final break of the hour. If you want to jump in on the phone, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Greg McKinney and Lonzo, one more time in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. It's the huddle, the last show here. Greg McKinney and Lonzo in here till 4 o'clock this afternoon. So if you want to get in with us, well, you probably should go ahead and do it. Probably not put that off. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. Delvin mentioned this on his call earlier, and I too am glad to see it. This is game day for Mayori Davenport. She is going to play a high school basketball game tonight, and it didn't look like that was going to happen. But a judge, Sonny Reagan, granted an emergency motion this morning filed by Mario and Tara Davenport, Mayori's parents, asking that the court review the facts surrounding their daughter's case and restrain the Alabama High School Athletic Association from stripping Davenport of her eligibility. So tonight at 6:30, Charles Henderson, her high school, will play Carroll High School, and she plans to play. When she learned about the news, she said, it's showtime. The director of the high school association in Alabama, Steve Sabarisi, had ruled her ineligible. That happened November 30th, so it's been about a month and a half, after finding out that she deposited a check from USA Basketball in the amount of $857.20, which was sent to Davenport by mistake. She had led the U.S. to a gold medal at the FIBA America's U18 Championship in Mexico City this past August, and USA Basketball routinely sends players a stipend check for lost wages, but admits it failed to check the Alabama rules. The association's amateurism rule stipulates that a player can't accept more than $250. The check was $857. So she deposited the check, not knowing any better. And when the error was discovered in November, she repaid the money, all of it, $857.20. But the ruling by the high school association was upheld on two appeals, so she was banned for a year. This case has drawn national attention. One of the things that has helped her is the famous people that have gotten behind Maori Davenport. We told you about Jay Billis, but Kobe Bryant, Billie Jean King, and others have been speaking out on her behalf. She's going to play basketball at Rutgers. Oh, man, Rutgers is the one who got Don Imus in trouble, right? He said something about the Rutgers
I believe
women
it was.
Basketball team. Anyway, that's where she's headed. She's 6'4", number 15 prospect in the top 100 from ESPN in the 2019 class. Her team won the state championship in 2018. So she can play tonight, but this is just basically a stay, right? It's just an emergency motion to let her play while the facts are reviewed. So it's not over yet, but at least for now, Maori Davenport gets to play. And I'm glad to see that. Good for her. Hopefully, the final decision will go her way as well, and we can put this thing to rest. I would like to see that. Here is a blue blood poll that I saw today from Pick 6 Previews. They had 115,000 votes in this. See what you think. The percentage of people that view a program as a blue blood program. We're talking about college football here. This is from Pick 6 Previews. So who are the blue bloods? And what does a blue blood mean? Generally speaking, it would mean you've been good for a while, right? Like really good for a while?
Like for a really long time, I would think.
So what do you think the percentage is on Clemson as a blue blood?
2.5%.
It's a little better than that. 34% say Clemson is a blue blood program right now after they won their third national championship, second in 3 years.
I know I said that they are a dynasty and everything earlier in the week, but to be a blue blood, I think you got to be, it's got to last for decades.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's been a nice run here, but not a long run for Clemson. But 34% is just a third. So they, you know, 2/3 of the people don't consider Clemson a blue blood. But here's the list. See if you agree with it. Obviously, Alabama. No argument. 92% say Alabama's a blue blood football program. Who do you think second?
I would say Ohio State.
It is Ohio State at 91%. Third?
This is fun.
I'm not going to go past this.
Okay, Michigan.
No, they're further down the list. It is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay.
That is third at 82%. 82% of the people think Oklahoma's a blue blood program. USC, not South Carolina, is fourth at 79%. Man, it just seems like it's been a long time since they've been real good, though, doesn't it?
Definitely. Where's Notre Dame falling there?
Next.
Okay.
Fifth at 78%. So that's your top five. Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Southern Cal, Notre Dame are your top five when it comes to being a blue blood.
And no, I'm not looking at it. From being a child to the age now, when someone says college football, who are the first teams that you think
right.
of? And so none of those surprise me.
No, those all, I don't have any problem with any of those. Michigan is there next at number six, 74%. So about 3/4 think Michigan's a blue blood program. I guess, again, it's been a minute, so they're in danger of losing their status if they don't pick it up a little
they
bit.
They had a winning season last year, so I mean.
Winning season is one thing.
Yeah, I know.
Nebraska, I mean, they certainly were. Do you think Nebraska's behind Michigan when it comes to blue blood? I'm not sure about that.
Yes, I do. When was the last time Nebraska was good?
I know.
Same with Michigan.
Yep, same thing. But man, they were good for a while, dominant for a while.
Doesn't Michigan still have, like, the most wins ever?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, so,
you
I mean.
You go back 300 years.
Yeah, but still, that puts you in that conversation.
Texas is tied with Nebraska. And then there's a big drop-off. So those are probably what you would consider your blue bloods, and that's it. You put Texas in there? Texas is a blue blood. I might question that a little bit, too. But those are the ones at 70% or more blue blood vote. Then it drops all the way down to 51%. So you get almost a 20-point drop there, and it's Penn State at 51. Florida's at 50. Florida State at 45. FSU fans are not going to like being behind Florida. But Florida did have those two national championships in this century, which helps. Florida. I know Florida State had the one a few years ago, 4 years ago. So Florida State at 45, Florida at 50%. Miami, the U, only 42%. Again, man, they were really good for a long time, but just fell off the face of the earth. LSU at 36%, and then Clemson at 34%. The good thing for Clemson is they have surpassed Tennessee. Tennessee is only 29%, and they're past Georgia, too. Clemson's ahead of Georgia. Georgia's at 27% in the blue blood vote.
Well, 5 years from now, I wonder what that vote would look like. We'll see what Clemson continues to do.
All right. I mean, they're set up to have a good few years at Clemson. And but, you know, not that Georgia's not. Tennessee, maybe we the jury's still out on that.
They're still up and coming.
They're on their way. And then way down to 14% for Washington and 13% for Auburn. Ted says he agrees with this list with Nebraska on the hot seat. Well, you know, they've just made the coaching change, and they got their guy Scott Frost in there. And, you know, he hasn't started off gangbusters. Lost a bunch of games to start this year. But, you know, they could be right back in the mix, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But right now they're down at 70%, which is not bad. It's not bad. Nebraska did some great things, though. I mean, great things. Some great players have come through there. It's just been a few minutes since that has happened. So over 115,000 votes in this Twitter poll. And that's the way it turned out. I wonder where Clemson would have been a couple of years ago, probably down below 20%, especially before that championship in 2016. So two championships in 3 years has boosted Clemson. But you're right. I mean, this is not what happened in the last couple of years. This is what's happened in decades, and you know, it helps that Clemson has the one back in 81. They're climbing up the list slowly but surely, but a ways to go for the Clemson Tigers if you're going to consider them a blue blood program.